Today's reading is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. Paul, Silas, and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you. We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ.
Hello everyone. As the lockdown and the coronavirus pandemic continues, we can easily feel overwhelmed at times, like we are drowning in all kinds of different things that threaten to overwhelm us. Drowning in the news and the social media, drowning in the reality of homeschooling, drowning in work or free time, drowning in loneliness or frustration, or maybe more seriously in despair or anxiety about the future. And I want to share, as we think a bit about this reading that Daniela kindly read for us from 1 Thessalonians, I want us to think about the theme of hope. Now, I heard a talk once by a man called Jim where he spoke about a time where he literally felt like he was almost drowning in the sea. But actually, this was a talk about hope. Spoiler alert, he and his son, who was swimming together, did actually make it. But he described a very serious incident when they got caught in a current going out to sea, and they thought, even though they were both good swimmers, that they were struggling to get closer rather than further from the beach. And eventually the son stopped swimming and he simply clung to his dad, making it even more difficult for him to swim. And Jim, the man who was telling this story, said that was the first point where he felt like hope disappeared and he felt certain they were going to drown, that they weren't going to be able to make it, and neither was his son. And to feel like you're going to drown is to feel the absence of hope. But Jim said, all it took was one glimmer of some good news to spark hope for him. That first glimmer came when his son started swimming again. And with that came the thought that maybe they would make it after all. And he kept swimming, but still they were far out and their limbs were tired. And once again, the feeling of despair came. Again, they thought they would drown. And then someone on the beach saw that they were struggling and started shouting and moving towards them. And again, hope kicked in and they found the strength to keep swimming. But by now they were exhausted and their bodies weren't functioning. And they, even though the help on the beach was being mobilized, they felt again like they were going under. And Jim says he remembers even at that point, sinking again and thinking, this is it, we're going under. But then as he literally sunk underwater, his feet hit the ground. And with the knowledge that they were almost back in their depth, hope again was reignited and gave them strength to just keep swimming till finally they were rescued and safe. And actually, they needed to be hospitalized for quite a lengthy time after that. You know, finding hope can make all the difference to keeping going. And today in this new series in the book of 1 Thessalonians, we're going to explore this theme of hope. We've called this series Living Hope, because there is a hope described in this letter of 1 Thessalonians that is like that solid ground that is real and certain. And that though the hope is always future orientated, it actually makes a difference in the now, in how we live, in how we respond in times of crisis and stress and difficulty like we're in at the moment. You see, the hope that we're going to be looking at this morning and in these coming weeks, the living hope described in 1 Thessalonians, changes us and it changes those around us. The opening of this letter describes not just who this letter is from and who it's written to, it does do that, but it also, if you look deeper, is full of stories of hope that have touched the lives of others. So who were Paul and Silas and Timothy, those who are mentioned right at the start of our reading this morning? Well, Paul had been a strict Jew who hated Christians. He imprisoned them and supported those who killed them. But his life was completely turned around when he actually encountered the risen Jesus after the events of that first Easter. He had the original Damascus Road experience, a terminology that is still used to describe a dramatic transformation. Well, Paul's was the true story which that terminology originated from. He was converted on the road to Damascus through a miraculous encounter with Jesus Christ. You can read the actual historical document where that is recorded. It is a book called The Acts of the Apostles, often known simply as Acts. It's the book that Tim was referring to in earlier on in this service, which many of us have been reading through. We're reading through a plan that you can access off the YouVersion. We're going through 50 days of reading the book of Acts. And as Tim mentioned, we just were in Acts chapter 3 this morning. And I'd really encourage you to join us in that reading through Acts. The plan is called To the Ends of the Earth. And it gives you not just the story of Paul, but also of Silas and Timothy, and even how the church in Thessalonica was formed. You see, in Acts, we also read how Timothy, this young man with a Greek father, joined Paul and Silas. And I want to say, if you're young and you're listening to this, don't underestimate what God can do and wants to do through you. You know, later in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, we see that when Paul and Silas couldn't go back to Thessalonica, they sent young Timothy, maybe because he was Greek and it would have been easier for him to travel, but they sent him to go and encourage the church in Thessalonica. Thessalonica, as you can see in this map, is in the kind of coast of Greece, and it was one of the major cities in Greece at that time. And this letter is one of the earliest New Testament letters to be written. The church in Thessalonica was started about AD 50. And this letter is written within a few years after that, not long after Timothy returned from that trip visiting the church there. And then Silas. Well, Silas, we also learn about in Acts in chapter 15. And he was a leader and a prophet in the church. And he became Paul's traveling co-worker. He was a prophet and famously had a lockdown experience with Paul when they were actually imprisoned for what they'd been doing of telling people about Jesus. But in the prison, they were singing hymns and they were full of hope. Even in their jail cell, they were singing hymns that touched the lives of others around them. And then there was an earthquake and the doors flung open and the jailer assumed that they would escape. And so, the jailer, thinking he'd lost his prisoners, was preparing to kill himself when Paul and Silas shouted. They said they're still there. They hadn't run away. You see, this infectious faith and hope they had had such an impact on those around them that they wanted to speak to the jailer. And it had this huge impact on the jailer. And he and all his family became Christians that day. You can read about that also in the book of Acts. I wonder if you can imagine being in jail or even in this lockdown time, having so much joy and hope that you are singing in a way which infects those around you. You see, that's one of the things I want us to see from this short reading, that living hope is infectious. I've got two kind of brief things I want to highlight, and that's the first: living hope is infectious. So, this infectious hope of Paul and Silas touched people, not just in that jail cell in Philippi where they'd been in jail, but as they moved on then to Thessalonica and traveled through that region. And again, you can read about that in Acts. What we see is the infectious hope of Paul and Silas touched the lives of people there. And within a month or so of them arriving, a new church had been established in this city. In the YouVersion Bible app, which is free, which I encourage you to download on your phone, it has little introductions to each of the books in the Bible. And for the introduction to 1 Thessalonians, it says this: throughout this letter, the basic message is keep up the good work. Don't give up. You know, one of the key things I want to say to us as a church at the moment is don't give up. Keep on doing the things that you are called and feel God leading you to do. You know, this is a new season for us as a church. It's a season where we've been scattered, and even today, a kind of meeting in different places across the city as we're watching this live stream and even beyond. You know, as the church scattered in Acts, it grew. Let's keep praying that God would use this time to grow his church. I sense God wants to use this time in all kinds of ways to particularly help us raise the next generation, which is our vision as a church. You know, the way we are doing church has changed, but our vision hasn't changed. We have been, even this last year, experimenting with scattered gatherings across different parts of the city. Well, in this last month, that's kind of multiplied amazingly. And we're like a new church scattered in many households and even far beyond, as I was saying. And may this infectious hope that we're thinking about today touch our lives afresh, maybe for the first time, or maybe make our lives even more infectious. Now, I love how Paul starts with simply saying in this letter, grace and peace to you. You know, what wonderful words. Maybe you particularly need to hear them in your context this morning. The grace of God that's not about what you have done or haven't done, but about what he has done and what he gives at great cost to himself to us. Receive God's grace and then peace. A peace not based on circumstances, but the peace of God is possible even in a jail or in lockdown or in a busy workplace or homeschool. The peace of God. I wonder, even at this moment, we could maybe just pause and I encourage you, receive God's grace and God's peace. You know, as this infectious hope touches our lives, it turns us into people who, even in difficulties, are aware not just of problems, but of things we can be thankful for. I love the way verse 2 continues, and it goes on and says that we always thank God for you. I love that, amazingly. Great way to start not just a letter, but to start your day, to start your meals, to start your conversations with thankfulness, as Tim was reminding us earlier in the service. You know, it says we always thank God. It's a constant attitude of gratitude. I remember once hearing that attitudes are infectious. And then this person asked, is yours worth catching? I wonder at the moment, is your attitude today worth catching? Do you have an attitude of gratitude? You know, we've become so aware in recent days of how infections work and how our lives affect the lives of multiple people around us. But that is true not just of the coronavirus, but it's also true of our attitudes. It's true of the hope that we carry. This living hope is infectious. Last Sunday, I was watching the live stream with the family just towards the end of our holiday, and it was so wonderful. We'd just been at home all the way through that week, but to see again people and faces and stories and kids dancing and families acting, we were just so thankful for this wonderful church family. And like Paul does in the beginning of this letter, we were just thanking God for you. And I love the way Paul in his letter just says, you know, we always thank God for you, mentioning you in our prayers. And just when you don't quite know what to pray for someone, you can just simply mention their name before God. And that can be a powerful thing to do. And then let them know that you're doing it. Pray for those in your household, your community, those on the front line, doctors and nurses. I know one of the things that many of us have been doing is be praying for doctors and nurses in our church. And just after Easter, one of the nurses in our church actually wrote to me an email with just some encouragement she's having at work. And I've asked Lila to come and read out a bit of this email from this nurse from our church.
Last week, my line manager asked me how it's possible that all nurses went off sick one by one, but I am still strong and happy every day. How it comes is that when everyone is so anxious, I am full of hope, giving positive thoughts to the team. As I am new there, she does not know much about me. I just thought that now is the time to testify about our God. I just replied to my boss, well, you do not know me well, but I am a born-again Christian. I am not alone in this fight with the virus. I have a strong faith and I have an army of people praying for me. Not that I am more special, but it's God's love, grace and mercy. And she replied, please can you give your church my name and ask them to pray for me? In fact, please ask to pray for the whole team as I can see that prayers are working.
Thanks, Lila. Isn't that wonderful? You see, our prayers work. Even this nurse's boss could see that prayers are working. Maybe just again pause before we go to our second and last point and just think of someone that you want to lift and remember before God's throne of grace. It might be one of our NHS workers. It might be someone you want to just say thank you for. Let's just pause again and lift people to the Lord. I was just thinking of that nurse and her boss and her team and lifting them to the Lord. Living hope, you see, is infectious. It touches the lives of people around us. But living hope is also inspiring. And that's the last thing I want us to see in this last verse, verse 3, which we had read for us. Which I'd really encourage you to try and learn. I'm trying to learn it at the moment. It's such a fantastic verse where he says, we remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. What does our hope inspire us to do? Well, that verse, we find hope coupled with what I'm going to call a couple of its siblings, things that often get mentioned with hope. There's a very famous verse read at weddings from 1 Corinthians 13, which says, these three remain, faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. The reality is all these, faith and love and hope, are all vitally connected. In fact, love goes on forever and into eternal life, and that's why 1 Corinthians says it is considered the greatest. But each is vital. In fact, somewhere else in the Bible, in Colossians 1:5, Paul writes and he says this, he talks about faith and love that spring from the hope that is stored up for you. You see, hope has a powerful impact on faith and love. Back in 1 Thessalonians 3, Paul says that our work is produced by faith. Why does faith produce good works? Well, it's because we believe that God is good. And we believe that he has good works for us to do. And we trust that he will provide for us and care for us so that we can do those good works for others. And what about this labor of love? Why is love linked with labor? Well, love is hard. Love is not just people in households. It's not just loving people in our household. Challenging as that sometimes is, but we're called to love people even across the world, to give generously of our resources at times of financial uncertainty, like we are planning to do in World Week in May. We have each year a World Week, and we felt it was right to continue to do that this coming year, even with all that's going on, because there are such huge needs in our world at this time. And we want to help our mission partners and global partners respond to those needs through our prayers and our support. You know, the news I found is increasingly highlighting some of the huge challenges that coronavirus is bringing. People have been saying that there's going to be a massive issue of hunger all across different parts of the world, huge disruption, staggering numbers that we're already seeing of those sick and dying. You know, in these coming weeks, we're going to give more information about how we can play our part through our partners to help those around the world. But as always, and particularly this year, as we consider our World Gift Day on May the 17th, we want to encourage people to remember 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7, which says, each one should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. So there won't be a target, as we sometimes do have, but this year we want to just say, may God guide each of us in what we give. But, you know, this hope is so vital here because work produced by faith and labor prompted by love are beautiful and wonderful, but they're costly and they're hard to keep going. I wonder if you've found that. We can easily feel overwhelmed by our own problems, let alone everyone else around the world and some of their problems. So how do we keep going? How do we keep giving? How do we keep loving? How do we keep the faith? Well, look again at verse 3 and how it ends. It speaks of your endurance inspired by hope. You see, hope inspires endurance, an endurance to keep going with faith and love, to keep loving those in your family, those in need around us and across the globe, to keep living by faith and letting that produce good works which God has prepared in advance for us. You see, we are in a marathon, not a sprint. These will be and are challenging times, but they will be that not just for a few days or even weeks, but they will, I believe, be challenging for quite some time ahead. And even when this challenge is maybe over, or there'll be other, I think, related challenges that will follow. So how does hope inspire us to endure? Well, like running a marathon, you keep looking ahead so that you kind of have your eyes on that moment of crossing the finishing line, knowing that time will come. Like we were singing in that song at the Ace, I will run this race and I will never stop. Thinking of the crowd cheering you on and the encouragement that will come at the end. One of our members, in fact, many of our church members are great runners, but one of them, Mike, who's over 70 now, and he's actually running in Brighton Half Marathon, the best kind of time for an over 70. He said, having a goal or purpose which gets nearer to completion as the race progresses is certainly a huge stimulus to endurance. You know, this living hope inspires endurance to keep loving and keep giving, to keep the faith. It isn't a hope that rests on our good works or our strength at all. It looks beyond ourselves. Like the story at the start, hope comes not from within us, but from somewhere else, from someone else. So what is that hope in? Well, the hope that is described in 1 Thessalonians that we will unpack much, much more in these coming weeks is summarized in the end of verse 3 as the hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you know this, but still find that you end up putting your hope more in other things. But I want to say there is nothing like this hope to put your trust in and your hope in. Look at this hope. It's not just that there's some distant God. This is a God who's come into our suffering world, one who works like no one else has worked, who labors in love in a way that we so often fail to do. In fact, this name Jesus helps remind us that this is one who suffered and died on the cross. His name literally means God saves, the one whose labor of love cost him his life. But the name Christ is actually a title. It's a title, the anointed eternal king, the deliverer, the one who will reign forever, the one who we will see later in this letter is coming back one day to make everything broken in our world right. The one who gives life beyond death, who invites us through his death and resurrection to believe in him, to be part of his kingdom, to follow him, to put our hope in him. Do you remember the story of the man who almost drowned at the start? Well, it was good to hear that they made it. They kept swimming. But what would have happened if they drowned? Well, this is where the hope in Christ is like no other hope, because it is a hope, as we're going to see in again in this letter. It's a hope even of life after death. You see, Jesus is the one who has gone under the waves so that we can be saved and have eternal life. He has died in our place sacrificially for you and I to have life. There's another true story about a rescue at sea that I want to just end with. It's a Christian called Dawson Trotman who was founded a mission organization, but it fell off a boat at the same time as a young girl, and he held her up above the water, but in the process lost his life. He drowned that she might live. He did that for that girl, what Jesus had kind of done for him in a much greater way than he does for us. He gave up everything to save you and I, and he'll come back so that you and I might be with him forever. You know, this is the sure and certain hope that no matter what happens in the world, that Jesus will return and death and all wickedness and pain and sickness will end. And that hope changes everything. It's a living hope. It changes things for us now. So why not do that this morning, whether for the first time or once again, place your hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he would lift us where we feel we are sinking, where we feel overwhelmed, that he would cause our lives to be infectious in such a positive way at this time, and that we would be inspired through this hope to keep going, to endure, even when it's tough. And I would love to lead us in a prayer which does just that even now. Let's bow our heads and we can pray together. Why don't you echo this prayer with me in your heart? Lord Jesus, I put my hope in you. Thank you for your death and resurrection. Thank you that you're coming back one day. Help me live a life of faith and love, and to keep doing that even when it is tough. May my hope in you inspire endurance in me and in others. Amen.